Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the What's Important Now broadcast. In America today, we are witnessing a cultural shift. This is the show devoted to the battle for the soul of our country. Join our host, Tom Sears, as he explains the issues of our day. And join the fight to bring values and morality back. Let's join Tom now as he shares What's Important Now.
And welcome inside of What's Important Now. I'm Tom Sears. Thanks for being a part of our program. Our email address, whatsimportantnowradio@gmail.com, whatsimportantnowradio@gmail.com. Our mailing address, 8901 Good Hope Pike, Lost Creek, West Virginia, 26385. Have a very special program planned for you today titled A Nation in Panic. And then question, did God warn us about this? And we have a special guest, Bobby Newsom, who's the senior pastor of the Bible Church of God and the founder of Biblical News Report. And we're going to talk a great deal about not only the coronavirus and how it's impacting the world, but we're going to try to answer the question about whether or not this is God's judgment. Is he speaking? We're going to take a look at past prophetic words. I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. I believe that God uses his people. And so we're going to talk about things that we've heard or things that we've read or things that have, you know, kind of been passed down to us. And then we're also, and this is where we're going to start the program, talking about churches shutting down and whether or not that is something that should be happening during this time. So without delay, Bobby, I want to welcome to the program. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Tom. Nice to be here.
All right, let's talk about, and let me, for transparency's sake, Bobby and I are cousins and kind of cut from the same cloth, and at least for the most part, I would say. And so we talk a great deal, and this has been something that we've been talking about. And I said, you know what, let's have a broadcast. Let's go on the air. Let's have a discussion, and hopefully we can help the listening audience. Maybe there's a question or something, and so we want to be able to do that. So with that being said, let's start first with churches shutting down. I'm a pastor. Our churches are our church has suspended its services, and the reason I did it was to protect our people and also had the overall public health in mind, because our leaders were telling us, you know, no gatherings of 10 or more. Bobby, what did you decide to do?
Yeah, we actually just like you, we shut our services down when the president called for that. We felt that it was within the best interest of our people. And like you said, the overall health of the community. We also felt it was important because, you know, Romans 13, when it talks about honoring those who God has placed in authority, we always want to be a people of honor, and so we felt it was necessary to honor that. So we made the decision, and it was a tough decision. You know, it's always a tough decision when you have to, you know, shut down your services, especially when you don't know when you're going to be able to have them again. But we made the decision to also shut our services down.
So this is a debate all across America. I actually believe it's a point of division. A lot of pastors, I mean, if you take a look at social media, it's back and forth, and people, and the amazing thing is a lot of people who are not even in church or don't attend church, they always have an opinion as well, but that's a whole nother topic for another day, I suppose. But it's definitely bringing some division, I think, amongst God's people. And what are your thoughts as it pertains to churches who have stayed open or who have decided to make that decision?
Like I said, you know, we had our reasons for shutting down. As this thing is getting more widespread, and of course where we're located, it's not nearly as bad as it has been in some of the bigger cities. We're blessed where we live, where that's not that bad yet. But you know, as this thing is beginning to spread and it's beginning to spread very quickly, My initial response when all this happened was, you know, I'll do what I feel like I need to do, and everybody else should do what they feel they need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And as it's getting worse, my view has kind of is starting to evolve a little bit into the point of, at what point do we say, okay, this is becoming way too dangerous for the people, and we need to, you know, we need to stop this. I believe, and this is just a personal belief, I personally believe that a lot of the problem with this and why there's such an issue with it, which I believe there's a lot of motivations behind it. A lot of people call it faith, you know, and many of them are saying that those who shut down their churches have no faith. And I told our people when we sent out the message that, you know, we were going to shut our services down, and I thank God that I got no slack from my people about it. But I told them, I said, this has nothing to do with a lack of faith, but an abundance of honor. And so, you know, I really felt that that was necessary. But, you know, there's the argument of, well, is it faith or fear? Is it faith? Are you going to bow down to this and that? I don't believe it has anything to do with that. I believe really that a lot of the reasoning for this, I believe the reason God has allowed this is because we have become a people in the United States of America who have begun to worship church services. I don't mean the church as the body, because we are the church. A building's not the church. We know that. But people have come to a place where they begin to worship church services. There's a lot of emphasis put on the service itself. And I think God is really trying to draw his people into a place where they have an understanding that, you know, it's not about the church service. Now, I truly believe that the people of God should gather together. I believe it's scriptural that we should assemble ourselves together and not to forsake that. And even as the days grow later, that we are to do it more. I don't believe that means that we should worship the gathering itself. I was telling our people that I think that the church, unfortunately, and this comes back to the leadership of church, we have trained people to believe they have to receive from church services and pastors what they actually should be receiving in their own personal devotion time. And so what I believe that's something that God is trying to deal with in this time and through what we're going through.
You're listening to What's Important Now. We're talking about church closures and whether or not they should be something that we are doing in America. Should pastors be shutting down their churches? Speaking with Bobby Newsom. And, you know, you bring up a good point about, you know, just the overall concern for public health. And, you know, I have been preaching from behind my pulpit for many years about the importance of worshiping God and being a Christian outside of church. I think that's a problem. It's an epidemic, if I've ever seen one, that the church in America, the people that attend church in America, and this is not an indictment on everyone, but just we've seen the cultural shift that has happened. And, you know, it's, I don't know about you, but for me, sometimes it's important that I tell people, listen, your relationship with God cannot just be on Sunday. You've got to have a relationship throughout the week. And so what you're saying is that you think that maybe God is using this as a way to slow us down and to learn to worship him outside of our normal settings.
I do. And it's funny you say that, because here it's been a few days ago. I truly believe that God is speaking. I think in every situation God speaks. In every problem we have and everything that happens, it's good. I believe God speaks, and we should listen. And I was taking some time. I was actually preparing for to record our Sunday morning service last week, and I was just kind of studying. And I asked God, I said, Lord, you know, if I know you're speaking, could you make it clear to me what it is you're trying to get me to hear? I'm not going to speak for everybody. I'm going to speak for me personally. God, what is it you're wanting me to hear? And what is it are you wanting me to tell the people? And I heard these words, and it's not deep. It's not, you know, deeply theological. I heard him say to me, slow down. And I truly believe that God is, I believe that if the enemy cannot get us to change our minds and walk away from God, then he will slow us down with busyness. And I think that's what has really happened in the church, is that we have come to a place where we have become so busy doing church things that we have forgotten that there is a secret place and there is a place of calmness, a place where we need to hear his voice and a place where we need to talk to him. And so I believe God is trying to slow the church down. Now, from what I'm seeing, there are those who are grasping a hold of that. There are those that are actually making themselves more busy. And so, you know, you always have those reactions. But God is really trying to slow his church down so that we can hear his voice and so that we can realize that it is our personal relationship with him that is going to keep us moving into the things he has for us. It's not necessarily what we get from being around other people. While that is very important, and I want to stress that, I am not saying that it is not important for the people of God to come together. It is important. But that doesn't do us any good if we don't have the quiet time, the place of devotion, the place of hiding in our private time. You know, being together doesn't do us any good if all we were doing is being entertained. And so I think God is speaking to us in that area.
And I think there's some good that has come of it already. You know, you talk about, you know, some of us have grown more busy, and I think that's true. I know that Facebook itself is slammed with live stream after live stream after live stream. And there's, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But I think what you're saying is, and I tend to agree, is that maybe the message we're supposed to be getting, we're not getting. You know, it's kind of like the church at Ephesus, that they were so busy doing all these different things, but they had left the first love. And that's not an indictment on people. Again, that's not an indictment. We're just talking, we're having a discussion. But I do think there's one good thing that has come of this. And that is that there are people that have not watched a church live stream or been in a church maybe in years. They're tuning in on Sundays now. What do you think?
Yes. Yeah, I agree. I even saw where here, I think it was last week, and I don't know what they did this week, but last week Fox News was actually live streaming Jensen Franklin's live stream. And so you know that in a setting like that, there are people who have not heard the gospel in years, maybe even people who have never heard the gospel, who now is hearing the gospel over these things. And so I think that is the positive thing that's happening here, is that the message of the gospel is getting out. I think the question we need to ask ourselves is, when this is over, are these people going to come into churches that are in the place they need to be in order to disciple them into what God has for them, you know, in their walk? And I think, you know, this happened very differently, but I can remember back in 2001 at 9/11, where people rushed to the churches. All of a sudden, churches were filled with people. I believe it was Time Magazine, and I'm not completely sure that printed an article that said America goes back to church. And within a matter of weeks after 9/11, all of a sudden, all those people, many of those people, left again, and that urgency kind of went away. And so obviously the religious people said, well, they never meant business with God. And, you know, we knew that would happen. But I really believe that the problem wasn't with them. I believe the problem was when they came to church searching for something, they didn't find what they needed. And so the question we need to ask ourselves is, in this, are we preparing ourselves spiritually to react when this is all over with? And maybe those who have heard the gospel, who have found Jesus in this tough time, are we going to be able to react and be able to disciple them the way that we should?
Here in a few minutes, we'll talk about, you know, whether or not this is judgment. But I can say that if it is, the Bible says that judgment begins at the house of God. And so I think you bring up a really good point when reflecting on the, you know, September the 11th, 2001, and then the days that followed, church attendance at an all-time high and then dipped to an all-time low. Because typically what we've done is we believe that things can't happen because they haven't happened. And I can't tell you the times during this global pandemic where people have said, man, I never thought I'd see anything like this. And if I'm honest, I don't think I mean, in the spirit, I have sensed that something like this could happen. But, you know, in my fleshly mind, I mean, it's like, wow, this is unbelievable, you know. But, you know, speaking to whether or not the church should be shut down, you had actually found an article from today. Fox 5 out of Washington, D.C. You sent this to me before we went on the air. Tampa megachurch pastor arrested after leading packed services despite safer at-home orders. The article goes on to say the pastor of Tampa megachurch is facing charges after refusing to close its doors despite a safer at-home order in effect in Hillsborough County, meant to stop the spread of COVID-19. The sheriff says up to 500 people were in attendance at Pastor Rodney Howard Brown's Sunday services. Sheriff Chad Cronister and State Attorney Andrew Warren on Monday announced an arrest warrant had been issued for Pastor Howard Brown. He faces misdemeanor charges of unlawful assembly and violation of public health emergency order. Now, that's not the entire article. And again, you can go to Fox 5 out of Washington, D.C. for the complete article there. But this is a pastor now. It's the first that I've heard of. I haven't heard of other situations or circumstances where a pastor has actually been arrested. One of the arguments coming from the individuals that believe the church should remain open, they're really saying, listen, this is government trying to shut the church down. Are you making that connection? Are you seeing that? Or are we getting a little too crazy?
Yeah, I don't believe that at all. and I'm all for religious freedom, obviously, being a pastor myself. I don't see the connection here. I believe that what's happening here is people, is the government, and I can't speak for Florida. I can speak for West Virginia, where we're at. I've never heard our governor ever say that you cannot go to your church. What I have heard is them saying that we ask that you not do this. As a matter of fact, he's been very intentional on making sure that people understood that he was not restricting people's right to worship, but asking that we use wisdom in how we handle things. So I don't see that at all. I guess in any situation, in the danger of possibly being politically incorrect, you always have the sky is falling people who think that everything is a conspiracy. But I don't think that that's really what's happening here at all. I believe that this is the nation trying to do their best. If they wanted to shut down the gospel from being preached, this is a really bad way to do it, because like we talked about before, the gospel is being preached on a larger scale right now than it was before all of this, because of social media, because of being able to do it over internet and stuff. So I don't think that that's what's happening at all.
I wonder if this is going to be repeated throughout the country if pastors continue to refuse to shut down their churches. And, time tells. We'll have to wait and see. Let's shift gears a little bit. Talking with Bobby Newsom, the pastor of the Bible Church of God in Clarksburg, West Virginia, founder of Biblical News Report, here on What's Important Now. We are just having a conversation about some of the things happening in our world today. And some of the questions, well, one question for sure that's running through the minds of a lot of Americans, especially those who have been churched or have had some sort of connection with the church, at least in their past. We see on social media, I don't know if you've seen it on your news feed, but I have on mine, people you never thought about God or, thought about church or thought about anything like that are posting things like, hey, this is God's judgment. We need to wake up. We need to get serious. I had someone contact me. Well, let me share my experience first. Let me share my experience. So about 2:30 in the morning, several nights ago, I was troubled, couldn't sleep. I was sitting in my chair. My wife had went to bed. She couldn't sleep. She woke up. She grabbed her Bible. She starts reading. She's reading out of the book of Exodus, and she's reading about the plagues. And she asked me, she said, do you think that some of these areas in the United States are getting hit harder because of sin? And just sort of off the cuff, I said to her, I said, well, I never thought about it, but, New York signed the most egregious, disgusting, despicable abortion law. Abortion bill into law, then maybe anyone in the nation. And kind of let it go. Next morning I get up, my phone had blew up. A friend of mine had reached out and was up all night and felt like God was speaking to them about, looking up the statistics of abortion and looking up the map on abortion versus a map of the coronavirus. And he sent me pictures of this. And I'm going to tell you something, Bobby, it was absolutely astonishing to me how similar the two maps were. So if I could explain, it was a collared map you know, we see the map of the U.S. with the coronavirus where they show the hot pockets, so to speak. It was kind of like that with a map for abortion, and the maps almost matched identically. And so it does beg the question, is God judging us?
You know, this is an interesting question because when people hear the word judgment, and I've actually been, because you and I had this conversation, you actually sent me the map that you mm-hmm. saw, and I was blown away by that. And so I've really been thinking about the whole, you know, is this God's judgment? Because as you said, there are many who are saying it's not God's judgment. There are many who are saying, yes, it is God's judgment. I think that there is a problem, not necessarily whether it's his judgment or not, but there's a problem with how people portray judgment. I do not believe that God created the coronavirus because he's angry mm-hmm. and that he's trying to kill people. Okay, and which a lot of the people who yell this is God's judgment, that's really how they portray it. Like, well, God's really mad because of this, and so he's going to send down this awful thing to kill people. We live in a fallen world where sin is a judgment all of its own, and the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is mm-hmm. eternal life. So
Jeremiah says your own sin will correct you.
Exactly. And so when it comes to these things, I truly believe that this isn't God being angry and frustrated and so he's striking people dead with this awful disease in order to scare everybody into being saved. I don't believe that, because my Bible tells me that it is the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. Here's what I do believe. I believe that when you allow sin to be legislated and to be lifted up and to be outright, you know, especially when it comes to these abortion bills, and there's many other things, but abortion is really one of those areas. When you allow those things, you are asking for that sin, you know, for there to be wages of that. And mm-hmm. so while I don't believe God created it, I believe he is allowing it. And mm-hmm. God does not allow anything for unless he has a reason for it. And I believe the reason is he's really trying to speak to his people. And so we need to have an understanding of what judgment is. There's a difference, I believe, between the judgment of God and the wrath of God. Many people try to portray the judgment of God as the wrath of God, and that's really not what it is. When you're being mm-hmm. judged, the case is being made, and there's a discussion there, and there is those who talk, those who listen. God is speaking, and I think what he is doing is he is giving his church, first and foremost. You said it just a few minutes ago that judgment begins at the house of God. He is judging his people because he cannot judge the rest of the world until he has gotten the attention of his own people. And so I believe that, yes, it is the judgment of God in the sense of we are reaping, you know, what the sin that we are sowing. Not that God is frustrated and angry, not that he is throwing down lightning bolts, but we are reaping the seeds that we have sown. I mean, you know, during these, you know, in New York and these places, during these battles of abortion, I mean, there were things said that absolutely blew my mind. I mean, basically spitting in the face of God and spitting at life, you know, life itself. And so you cannot do that and expect there not to be consequences of your actions.
I like what you said about judgment and wrath. It's almost like judgment is, if you think about our court cases, like you said, the case is being laid out.
Right.
Wrath would, so that would be, the judgment would be, you know, that case is being laid out. Wrath would be the penalty phase, right? Is that kind of what you're saying? Like,
yeah.
Wrath would be what follows after the verdict.
Right. And see, during judgment, depending upon how the case goes, there can be mercy. Once somebody has entered into a place of wrath, now they are now working out of anger. And there is no mercy in wrath. But there is mercy in judgment. You know, when I was a kid and I would do something wrong, my parents did not discipline me out of wrath. They did not discipline me because, well, I made them mad, so now I'm going to be disciplined. Because they did it because they were trying to show me that there were consequences to my actions so that I could understand that. I hope I'm making sense.
You are.
But a lot of times what people do is, and it really turned me off personally, is when people rant as though God is frustrated, God is angry, God is setting his, and he's so mad at the world. And the thing is religious people, what they do is they make it like act as though he's mad at just the sinners, and that he's going to start striking the sinners dead because of all these things that are going on, when really the judgment of God isn't like that. Judgment, there can be mercy in judgment, because the Bible tells us that we can plead the blood of Jesus. That is a legal term. In other words, when you stand in a courtroom and they say, are you guilty or not guilty? Well, there's not a person in this world who can plead not guilty, because we're all guilty, mm-hmm. which is why when we go before the throne of God, we plead the blood. Because while we are guilty, we plead the blood of Jesus, because that guilt is gone. That has been taken care of. We are taking upon us the forgiveness and the mercy of God. So I do believe it is judgment. And I do believe that if God's people will get in line and begin to hear what he is saying, I believe that he can supernaturally take care of this.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, the question that we're, or the thing we're discussing, is whether or not, you know, God's judgment. And, you know, I referenced the abortion issue. If you take a look at the law in New York, the baby can be terminated up until the moment of birth. And to think about a full-grown baby, I'm not even going to describe it. It's just awful. I can't even properly process it. I don't understand it. And to think about that being done millions and millions and millions of times. And so, you know, the case that Bobby's laying out here is that God is judging, thus speaking, trying to get a response from his people so that we don't have to go to the next phase, which kind of leads me to our next point of discussion, past prophetic words. I want to kind of lead into it with a personal experience, if I can, because it's been kind of mind-blowing for me. And I talked about it on an earlier program, but I'll go into more detail. So in order to prevent the next phase, you know, his people who are called by his name need to turn from their wicked ways, repent, seek his face, and then he'll heal. You know, there's a part of the contract we want to just, you know, say our little prayer and say, God hears me, and then everything's well. But if we don't find a way to keep our end of the bargain, our end of the contract, so to speak, where we actually repent and turn, your repentance is not just saying, I'm sorry, it's turning from it and not going back. And that's where we need to be in the church and in America. But anyway, really over the last several years, and it's become more prevalent, I keep seeing these waves. Now, Bobby, you are a witness to this. You know that I've talked to you about this many times. And
yes,
the waves that I see, and there's always only two, and there's this really small wave, and then it goes out, and then there's a much larger wave that comes behind it. And if you've ever been to the ocean, been to the beach, you know, it would be really weird to see a really small wave and then directly behind it a really big wave, but this is exactly the vision that I have seen many, many times. And so I have tried to predict, I have tried to understand this vision many times. And I can tell you that when I originally seen it, I felt like, well, years ago, and Bobby, I don't know if I had told you this, but I was thinking about this. Years ago on a Sunday night here at my church, maybe one of the first times that I saw the waves, the Holy Ghost spoke to me about the economy. And he used the image of the waves as the what's going to happen with the economy is, there's going to be this, we're going to get hit in a wave, and then it's going to go out and going to be okay, and then we're going to get hit in a wave, and it's going to go out and be okay. But as we've, you know, got closer to today, and I've seen that vision and tried to process it, one of the things that I saw was that with these waves was going to bring spiritual empowerment. God was going to use his people. He was going to empower his people. Well, I had a moment, I guess it's been 2 weeks ago now, where I was at the church, and I was talking to one of the gentlemen who attends our church, And it was like God just brought everything together. I mean, almost just, I mean, like just jolted me and kind of brought it together that it's about positioning. So like where we are positioned will determine how this wave impacts us. And so I believe, and I'm going to go on the record to say this, I believe that the wave represents what we're going through right now. And I know that might sound crazy, but the wave, I believe, especially if you kind of put together everything that we've already talked about here on this program and how Bobby said this is an opportunity for the church to learn to worship him and have closer relationship with God outside the church. If you put that together, this wave can empower God's people where we're not afraid. We're not living in panic. And he's empowering us, and we're getting closer, and we're drawing closer. And it's not—it's no longer about, you know, putting on the Sunday costume, but rather it's about getting alone with God and getting near to him. That wave is going to—that wave empowers us. But for those who are not positioned in the proper place, it's going to bring some difficult times. And so, as I've prayed about this, I do believe that we are in this current small wave. And I will say that based off of what the doctors and the scientists and everybody's saying, they're saying this coronavirus, it hasn't even peaked in the U.S. yet, that there's worse days coming. And that's probably true. So what I'm trying to get people to understand is that if what I saw, and by the way, notation, let every man be a liar, but let God be the truth. What I saw, if what I saw was true, if this is the first wave, no matter how bad it gets, it's not going to be anywhere near as bad as the wave that's going to come behind it. And whatever that means, I don't know what that means. But Bobby, you know that I've talked about these waves, and you are also someone who has sent me articles where it's that seem to be confirmed. You know, you've sent me multiple items about waves. Go ahead.
Yeah, and you know, you've been saying this for, I think, you know, at least a couple years, talking about this, you know, and I believe that, you know, you said something very important, that it is all about positioning. I was, you know, probably, I guess when the coronavirus first started coming into the U.S. before it had kind of blown up and become the big thing that it is, the Holy Ghost spoke in one of our services. And I read to the people, you know, Psalm 91, which has been read over and over again during this thing for obvious reasons. And this past Sunday, I was doing some study and was trying to prepare what to give the people for Sunday morning. And God spoke to me and said, I want you to preach on Psalm 91, verse 1. Not the rest of it, not the parts where it says, you know, 10,000 will fall your right hand, or 1,000 will fall your right hand, 2,000 your left. Not the part that says that you will be protected from the plagues, the diseases. He says, I want you to emphasize that it's those who dwell in the secret place, in the shadow of the Almighty. And what he spoke to me was, it's about positioning. You know, it depends on where we are positioned, how this thing is going to hit us. And what I think we're seeing in the first wave, and I don't want to add anything, you know, I don't want to kind of, but I believe what we're seeing is positioning. What we're seeing is God trying to place his people in the place they need to be so that when the big wave comes, that we will be in the place to be able to lead others through that. I don't know whether you remember or not. It just come to my mind. It's been many years ago. The Lord gave me a message about, and I don't remember exactly what the message was, but I do remember him saying that he would first judge his people so that when the judgment of the world comes, when God begins to judge the world, we will be in the right position to help them because we've already been judged and we have already been put in the right position. And so I think you are dead on with that. I think that we are living in the last days. I don't know when he's coming back. I'm not arrogant enough to say I do know when he's coming back. He could come back within the next 3 minutes. He could come back 100 years from now. I have no idea when he's coming back. But there is no doubt for anybody who has any kind of spiritual discernment, there's no way they can deny that we are living in times right now that we've never seen before.
I agree completely. And I'll tell you something that really – started to kind of shake me a little bit. Speaking of shake, one of the things that, God has spoke in our church services for the last, I don't know, year, 2 years, was that a shaking was coming. And I know you've had very similar experiences, similar words. But I was watching at the very beginning of this coronavirus outbreak, when the numbers were still really low and everyone was trying to figure out whether or not this was serious. I was watching Governor Cuomo from New York, and he starts talking, and he says two things that just set me back in my seat. The first thing he said was, he says, this is a wave. This is the first wave. And he draws it like he has this graphic of this wave, and I'm like, okay. And then he says, you know how you have a snow globe and you pick it up and you turn it over and you shake it and stuff's going everywhere? He says, this is almost like someone has picked us up and is shaking us. And I'm like, man alive. And then our governor, Governor Justice, also saying very similar things. And he even went as far as to say, this is like the first wave, but there's a tsunami coming. And it's kind of like, these people aren't getting these ideas out of nowhere. You know, it's kind of like these thoughts are being planted in them. And when you think about Governor Cuomo, with his hand, he not only drew a wave, he signed the most egregious abortion bill in the country. And you just think about like how, I don't know, God uses people to kind of confirm what he's been speaking. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes plenty of sense, because God can even use people who don't necessarily consider themselves to be spiritual, to say things they don't even realize what they're saying. I was thinking about, as you were talking about the shaking, I sent you a picture here just a couple weeks ago. I randomly, because I had more time, I was going through my office, some things in my office. I found an old notebook that I had used at one point, you know, in one of my small notebooks that I had kept with my Bible. And I found where something very random I had written down, and more than likely, I don't remember where it came from. I'm pretty sure it probably wasn't something I said. More than likely, it was probably something that my dad had said, because I had just written down, there's another shaking coming. And this has been many years ago, but I know that it was after 9/11. And you know as well as I do that Daddy, before 9/11, back in 2001, that the Lord actually spoke to him about 9/11 and said to him the Sunday before 9/11 happened, he had told him a couple months before that, but he reminded the church on the Sunday before 9/11, he said the Lord spoke to him and said, by this fall, this nation will never be the same. And we know that our country has never been the same since 9/11.
I sat in the seats. I knew that. I just want to verify what you're saying. I was in the seats for both of those moments.
Yeah.
I heard him say
that. And I think it was that following Tuesday, man, 9/11 happened. And our nation has never been the same since. I believe it may have been a few years after that when he said another shaking is coming to this nation. And so I believe that once again, you know, a shaking, a wave, all of these things move things around. Hmm. All of these things change positions of things. And I think, once again, it comes back to where God is really trying to shape and put his people in the right position so that we can reach the world, put his people in the position so that we can step into what I believe the last days move of God that is coming. You know, a lot of times, you know, especially in times like this, we focus on the horrible things that are happening. But you and I have talked that I don't believe this is just a horrible thing that's happening, but God is also going to have a great move of God come out of this. And it is happening even now.
Absolutely. I agree completely. Just moving this conversation along into, you know, past prophetic words and things, you and I both believe in the gift of prophecy, and that God uses people to prophesy and to say things, to speak his mind or speak his heart. And I was watching, and because I actually called you, and I was watching yesterday about the coronavirus breakout. And they were talking about how 2.2 million Americans would die if we did not mitigate the situation. And then Dr. Fauci, who's well-respected, said that he still expects a number of somewhere around 200,000 Americans to die. And I'm thinking, that is a lot of people. You know, that's a lot of people. And it seems like just a couple days ago, we crossed the threshold of 100, and we're almost to 1,000, and we're almost to 3,000 already. It's really starting to pick up. It's scary almost. And so I was watching that, and I had this, and I wasn't there, and I actually called you for clarification because it had been passed down to me, and I'll let you explain it. But I was reminded of an incident or a situation where our papa, our grandfather, Reverend Bernard Maxwell, had service and left, and then called some people back and began to pray and talk about that. Because I remembered him saying, old the caskets," but kind of set the scene, because the way I remembered it, I thought it happened like years earlier, but you said you were actually there and saw it.
Yeah, this was probably at the very latest in the early 90s, possibly the late 80s, because I was still probably an early teenager. And I remember that we were in a service where it was one of those services, and you and others may not quite know what I'm talking about, but you'll understand. It was one of those services where the presence of God was so heavy that you didn't, you know, especially as a young man, I didn't quite always get what was going on, but I knew something was happening. I knew there was something in the atmosphere. And I remember very specifically, we were at the old building over in Wilsonburg, and Papa was sitting on the altar, and he had been praying for a while, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he began to weep uncontrollably. And I remember him just saying, "Oh, the caskets, oh, so many caskets." And that's basically all he said. And I remember as a kid going, "Man, what in the world is he talking about?" You know what I mean? But for whatever reason, and I realize what through that has always stuck with me. That is one of those moments that has been burned into my memory. It doesn't seem like it's deep, because there wasn't a deep revelation. It was something I remember him saying, and thinking to myself, what in the world could he possibly be talking about?
You know, I was having a conversation with my dad today, and, you know, first, God has done such amazing things in my dad, and it just shows how faithful he is. And we were talking, had a really long conversation, and, you know, he was just kind of going over what he thought as far as, you know, what the Bible says. And I reminded him of the word, the prophetic word that Papaw had given that you just described. And he said, you know, he said, I remember one time where he was, and he mentioned your previous location very early on in ministry for our grandfather. But my dad said that he remembered that Papaw prophesied that a storm was coming, and that it was of such magnitude that it would cover the earth. And my dad said that he could not remember if the wording was from the four corners or four winds from the four corners or something like that. But he said it always stuck out in my mind, because he said I always expected a storm, you know, like a physical storm. But he said I'm not sure.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And so isn't it crazy how things that have been spoken 15, 20, 30, 40 years ago are just happening now?
Yeah.
I mean, they're just now happening.
And the thing is that, like, when that a lot of that talk there, when a lot of that happened, you know, I think when that first was spoken, I don't think I was even born yet. So, and I'm 43. And, you know, but it was also, I believe, through the years, on occasions, that particular word about a storm coming has been spoken even after that. You know, I can remember, and you might remember this. I remember when I was early in ministry, I was probably 19, 20 years old, if that, having a dream where, I'm not a prophet, and I'm not one who has a lot of what I to be prophetic dreams, but I'll never forget, I was at the Meadowbrook Mall in this dream, and I walked out at the time where there has been different stores, but I was looking toward this particular store that was across from the mall, And I'll never forget in this dream, I sat down on the curb and I began to weep. And I looked over the store, and as I did, these dark clouds began to roll in, and a voice spoke and said, "There's a storm coming." Mm. And I remember waking up trembling, thinking, "Oh my gosh." At which point, you know, I remember going to my dad and saying, "Hey, I had this dream. Do you think it was something?" And then he began to remind me, because like I said, you know, when a lot of those words about the storm, I wasn't old enough to remember them. I may have been there, but I wasn't old enough to remember them. And he began to remind me what the Holy Ghost has spoken. And, you know, you and I growing up, you know, around Papaw and all that, we've heard about that multiple times. You know, and it's been something that has kind of throughout the years has always been kind of a reminder to us of what's going on. And I believe we're seeing that now. I believe we're seeing that right now.
Speaking of dreams, and you know one that I had many, many years ago, probably 20 years ago at this point, that has never left my mind. And it has multiple parts, but I'm gonna pull out two parts from it. The first part is I was walking into Walmart. And I was with someone, and they were going to exchange something. And I was just kind of walking, and there's this guy standing in the aisle. And he is proclaiming God's word right in the middle of Walmart. And so he's got my attention, you know. And so long story short, I mean, people are gathering, and he's speaking to them, and he's really giving the word. And so, and there's more to it, but I'll cut that part short. At the end of the dream, you and I are walking, and I'll never forget this. I'm telling you about what happened at Walmart, and we're in this community. There's houses, but there's no lights on anywhere. There's no street lights. There's no house lights on. It's like the electric's out. There's nothing. And the darkness, the way I've always described it, and you know this is true, is that it was so thick that it was almost like you could scoop it. You could scoop the darkness with your hand. And so you and I were talking, and we saw a shadow or something. We saw a person or something moving, and we got real quiet, like we're not supposed to be talking about this, which I kind of, you know, looking back on it, thought, you know, persecution, something like that. So you ended up kind of going your way, and then I went my way, and I'll never forget that at the end of the dream, I kind of put my elbow on this railing of a porch, and I looked up in the sky, and I said, quote, I'll never forget this, "I preached about it, I taught about it, but even I had no idea how dark these days would be, and I woke up." Mm-hmm. And that's a dream that has never left my mind, ever.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that just shows you how through the generations, how God, and we always think, you know, when it comes to prophetic words, most people always think, well, if it doesn't come to pass in a year, well, then it must not be, you know, of God. But God doesn't work like that. You know, there are prophetic words that were given back in the early 1900s and even before that, that we're just now seeing come to pass.
Yeah, he's long suffering and he's patient. And like you said, his kindness is what leads to repentance. And I even look at the current situation as his mercy. You know what I mean? Like this is his mercy.
Yes.
He's trying to speak to us. He's trying to warn us. He's trying to say this is I want you closer to me. And I know that Holy Ghost filled preachers have been proclaiming this for many years that we were going to, I can tell you, I can remember as a child hearing a word come forth. I have said this to my church. I'm sure you have said it to your church. And it's very simple. The Holy Ghost would say, "You will need me like you've never needed me before."
Yeah.
And I just
multiple
saying
times.
That. Yes, just saying that, I get these chills all over my body. Mm-hmm. Because who would have thought we would see in our time all sporting events shut down, all grocery stores with shortages? I mean, it's just crazy. And I was thinking about it today. People are already kind of getting acclimated to our current circumstances, right? So it's almost becoming the new normal. People don't like it. They're ready to get back to life as normal. But we're getting acclimated to it. We are adjusting. what happens if something worse follows?
Right.
What happens then?
Right.
You know? I mean,
yeah.
We will need him. We do need him more than we've ever needed him. Go ahead.
And I truly believe that, like you said, I think that God is trying to get back to the place where people rely on him, where they don't rely on, you know, where they don't rely on religious figures to keep them saved. You know, the charisma of a man or a pastor will not keep you saved. The, you know, while programs and all these things are wonderful, awesome worship teams, you know, these are wonderful things. These are awesome tools that God uses to reach people and to lift us up. But those things in and of themselves are worthless without a relationship with Jesus Christ. And what God, I truly believe this in my spirit, that what God is doing is he's saying to his people, you have to stop relying on men and quit relying on the things that men put in place, and you have to start relying on me. Because if we don't rely on him in these hard times, we will not make it. We will not make it. I mean, what would the church in America do if they were like, you know, there's a lot of people saying, well, you know, if you shut down your churches and you don't have any faith, and this kind of come to me, you know, a couple of weeks ago, are we going to say that the church in China that worships God in hiding, are we going to say they don't have faith because they hide? I mean, yeah. You know, these are people who don't have all the stuff we have to keep people coming to church. They don't have all the things to draw them. They don't have, you know, all they have is him, and they know how to rely upon him. And I think slowly God is trying to do that with his people in America. He's trying to say, what if you can't go to church for 2 months? Will you stay with me? Will you continue to worship me? Will you continue to praise me? Will you continue to live for me? You know.
I think that it's an excellent point. Excellent questions being asked, and ladies and gentlemen, we are in fact living in unprecedented times, times that many of us have never even imagined. But here we are, and it is not our goal to bring panic or fear to you. Rather, a reality check that it's time to get serious before God. It's time. The time has passed. We have played enough games. And, you know, Bobby, I can remember your dad saying many years ago about how God was going to begin to wake up pastors and deal with them. You know, I believe this is all part of the process, but we've got to slow down and hear what he's saying. We've got to slow down and let him speak to us, get close enough to hear him, right? I mean, that's part of it. Sometimes everything in our life is so loud that we don't hear his voice.
And once again, it comes back to positioning. It comes back to where are we? Where are we?
Michael Brown, and we're getting ready to close this program out, but Michael Brown, Dr. Michael Brown, came out with an article on OneNewsNow.com today, and it was in response to an article written this morning by the New York Times blaming the evangelical church for the spread of the coronavirus. Now, Dr. Brown, based off of what I've seen, did not deal with the issue as to whether or not churches were open or closed. He actually was the article that I didn't read. I read Dr. Brown's account, but I guess the article is saying that evangelical Christians, because we don't believe in science, we're spreading the coronavirus. Any response to that?
Well, I think that's crazy. I mean, you know, I guess that's a real intelligent response, but that's nuts. I mean, you know, the vast majority of evangelical Christians are taking this seriously. Yeah. Not that you don't have, you know, people out there who don't, but you have people, not just evangelical, you have people who don't believe in God that aren't taking this seriously. And so it's what it is in our nation, and it's what we have unfortunately evolved into. Is it's always a blame game, and so people, when things begin to happen, people begin to blame, and they always try to blame those who do not have the same ideologies as they have, and so you're always going to have that. You're always going to have and as Christians, you know, Jesus even told us you will be persecuted, and that, you know, to me, that's not really persecution, you know, because that's just words, but you know, that's what you're going to have is especially in the nation we live in. When things go wrong, people are always going to try to blame somebody who doesn't agree with them for that happening.
Absolutely. Well, Bobby, I want to thank you because I feel like we've had a really, really good conversation, one that probably needs to continue. And if you're up for it, I'd love to have you back. But
sure. Yeah.
It's been a good conversation. And, you know, when we look at the world today, when we look at the situations that we're facing, a lot of people are beginning to feel hopelessness.
Yes.
Because, you know, unemployment's on the rise. I know I don't know if it's impacted your church yet, but I have at least one individual right now who has contacted me and said they've lost their job. And so
right.
It's beginning to take its toll. Where will we be a month from now when, you know, as the president announced that the guidelines are going to stay in place for another month until April 30th? That goes through Easter. Pastors are going to have to make decisions. I spoke to someone earlier today, and they were actually getting together to figure out what they were going to do at their church. The numbers in West Virginia and around the country are rising. There is just a lot of panic and fear and anxiety and worry that's happening around our world, and a lot of hopelessness. And, you know, and we talked about getting positioned and all that stuff. But if you would, speak to the individuals that are struggling, and then if you would, say a little prayer.
Sure. You know, I just want to say what I've been telling my congregation, that in the unprecedented times that we're living in, the worst thing that we could do is live in fear. Because while there's panic going on around us, there's things happening that we've never seen before. And it would be easy for even the most seasoned Christian and most seasoned individual to live in fear. We must always come back to the fact that God is in control. And God has all things in his hand, and God will move, and he is going to take anything that the enemy meant for bad and turn it around for our good. And so we just have to trust him. That's what this comes down to, is that it's not about trusting our government. It's not about trusting those around us. It's about trusting God. And so I'm going to pray and just ask that God touches our hearts, and that through this, that fears are calmed. The Word of God tells us that he gives us not the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so we're just going to pray that God touches people, and that their ears would be open to hear what he is saying, and that the fear and the anxiety that I know has to be overtaking people would go. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you and praise you for all that you've done. I thank you, God, that even in times like this, Lord, that you speak to your children, that even in times like this, you comfort us. Even in times like this, God, you make your will known to us. And I pray right now, Father, that you would just move through all of this, that, God, you would begin to calm the nerves. You would begin to calm the anxieties and the spirit of fear that is running rampant in our world right now. God, I pray that you would make yourself known, that your spirit and your power, God, would touch people's lives, and that they would be drawn closer to you in the midst of this, that they would be surrounded by your power, surrounded by your spirit, God. God, let your people hear what you're trying to say. Let our ears be open to hear what you're trying to speak to us, and let us get positioned in the place where you would have us to be, that we will be able to be the salt and the light in the earth that you've called us to be. And Lord, we'll give you praise. We'll give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Bobby, again, thank you so much for joining us. Again, Bobby, senior pastor of the Bible Church of God in Clarksburg, West Virginia, and the founder of Biblical News Report. Bobby, thanks.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for being a part of our program. Our email address is whatsimportantnowradio@gmail.com. Our mailing address, 8901 Good Hope Pike, Lost Creek, West Virginia, 26385. I want to encourage you to continue to fight the good fight of faith. Contend for the faith. There is a cause. It does matter, and it is important now. Until next time, I'm Tom Sears, and this has been What's Important Now. God bless.